You're listening
so
to
such a
short amount of time to do it in. A Mamma Mia podcast.
From Mamma Mia, welcome to The Spill, your daily pop culture fix. I'm Ki Reese.
And I'm Laura Brodnick.
And Laura, we're about to put our baby into the world. We're about to launch our first new bonus episode, The Watch, on Sunday. How are you feeling?
I'm just excited for people to hear it, especially because things get very rogue at the end, because we can be looser with this series than we normally can be in our standard episodes. So we invented this new game. We played at the end of the episode. I answered one of the questions. Ki lost her mind at me. It's like, you can't do that. He'd kill you in a second. And I was like, that's how I want to go. I can't help it. So
I still stand by it. Anyway, it is about the smash hit Squid Game, and it's fantastic. We've already had really good feedback. Thank you very much. But I did want to say also, it's genius. We're dropping it on a Sunday. Like, how often do you get to Sunday and you're like, I just need to listen to something while I'm doing something, but there's no new episodes out because you've listened to everything that week. So you're welcome. Your Sunday's about to get a whole lot better. Now we got that out the way. It is Friday, so that means it's weekend watch time. So we're just throwing things at you today. And get ready because we have a new British thriller series. No surprises there who's recommending that one this week. And a new slasher series based on one of the biggest slasher franchises from our teens. Also no guesses as to who is recommending that one. Before we jump into that, we have the entertainment news headlines of the day.
I have news.
What's the hot goss?
I want more headlines.
First up, yesterday, actor Jonah Hill shared a screen grab of his Notes app to Instagram, and the text read, "I know you mean well, but I kindly ask that you not comment on my body," with a love heart. "Good or bad, I want to politely let you know it's not helpful and it doesn't feel good. Much respect." The message attracted a slew of positive comments and likes from fans, and also celebrities like Aidy Bryant from SNL and also star of Shrill, who left a green checkmark emoji. Plus size model and activist Tess Holliday wrote, "This is," and then the 100 emoji, and then later added "louder" in capital letters. And then fellow actor and sister of the star, Beanie Feldstein, wrote, "That's my brother." So the reason why we wanted to chat about it today is because you might remember back in February when the Daily Mail published images of Jonah, and at the time he was surfing, he was shirtless, and it kind of prompted him to shut down the critics with this very pointed message on Instagram where he opened up about finally having self-love and acceptance after years of being publicly shamed. I'm just going to read it as a little reminder. So he said, "I don't think I ever took my shirt off in a pool until I was in my mid-30s, even in front of my family and friends. Probably would have happened sooner if my childhood insecurities weren't exacerbated by the years of public mockery about my body by press and interviewers. So the idea that the media tries to play me by stalking me while surfing and printing photos like this, and it can't faze me anymore, is dope. I'm 37 and finally love and accept myself." So it's pretty clear here that he's really setting boundaries, which I think is really important as a star, and something I don't know if we've really seen in that way, or certainly not from a male celebrity. And he's really just kind of drawing a line in the sand, like, you're either with me or you're not. And if you're not, you're going to look like a bit of a dick. And that's really kind of pushing the shame onto those who typically do the shaming. And I think it's brilliant. I'm here for it.
Yeah, I thought it was really interesting because, like you're saying, he is one of the few male Hollywood stars who has been really ridiculed for his weight over the years. And when that first Instagram post came out, it kind of kicked off this huge conversation about how we talk about men and women's bodies differently. Because on one side, like, your weight doesn't affect you as much as a male actor. Like, that's just a fact. Like, Jonah Hill could still headline a movie no matter what size he is, but we know that traditionally women are pushed out of that. But also it did highlight the fat shaming that's happened to him his whole career, and how it was really seen as a joke until he really put up that emotional Instagram post. Because there's that interview that resurfaced when he was first doing press for Superbad. So he'd finally made this big movie, he's about to be a big movie star, there was so much critical acclaim and fan acclaim, and this interviewer was asking him, like, how does it feel to be like the fat guy? And you can just see his face just breaks. And he's like, "I can't believe you just said that to me. You've made me feel like shit. I wanted to promote this movie and you've ruined it for me. And people thought it was funny at the time, but now, like, a few decades later, yeah, it rings true. And also, I'll never forget when he got his first big Oscar nomination. He's sitting in the audience, his mum is next to him. It's like a huge thing for him to be there. And the only time they talk about him is they make a fat joke.
Yeah, that's not
about him eating cupcakes and stuff. So it's interesting now he's put this up, because every time he loses weight, he gets heaped with praise. And then when his body changes, there's really negative headlines. So I think what he's saying is just, like, please stop talking about it. And obviously not every celebrity paid attention.
No, they didn't. That message was perfect. Please just don't comment on my body. Done. Everyone was like, yes, we get you. Praise, praise, praise. And then there's Sharon Stone, who just did not read the room. She commented, can I say you look good? Because you do, with a fire emoji. And no, Shaz, you bloody well can't. That's the whole point.
You had one job. Like, I do know where she's coming from, and obviously she's kind of like a different world of Hollywood, but it's read the room. So in other celebrity news today, our old pal Britney Spears, she's had a bit of a run of good news lately. So she had her engagement to her longtime boyfriend Sam Asghari, and also the very positive news that a judge had suspended her father Jamie from the conservatorship that had controlled her life for 13 years. But this week she's in the headlines again, and let's just say it's for a bit more of a petty reason. So a few months ago, it was reported that her younger sister Jamie Lynn Spears was releasing a book. And the title at the time was I Must Confess, Family Fame and Figuring It Out. And fans were pretty upset when they saw that title. Key, I don't know if you can guess why.
Yeah, because it's the hit that launched Britney Spears' career, not Jamie Lynn Spears' career. Thank you.
Exactly. So obviously I Must Confess, a line from Baby One More Time. And fans who obviously spent a lot of time defending Britney online and looking for hidden clues thought it was really disrespectful to Britney as a way to kind of once again take her sister's fame and use of her own personal game, especially coming off that documentary moment where we saw Britney's face and reaction to seeing her sister perform her hits on stage instead of her when she was really deep within the conservatorship.
Oh my God, so, that still gives me chills thinking about it.
Yeah, right? Where, like, everyone's like, Britney, we love you. We're going to sing your music and you have to stay in the audience. You can just see Britney Spears sitting there thinking,
I'm not
the greatest
dead
performer of all time. Yeah. I'm not dead.
Why are you doing a tribute to me when I'm alive? Why am I not doing my tribute? Yeah.
So that came out. There was quite a lot of backlash. And then miraculously behind the scenes with no explanation, the title of Jamie Lynn Spears' book, which is obviously like a memoir about her life, was released. And she's renamed it Things I Should Have Said. So she's tried to steer clear of her sister's back catalogue of songs. But then Britney went onto her Instagram and said, I'm thinking of releasing a book next year, but I'm having issues coming up with a title. So maybe my fans could help. Option one, shit, I really don't know. Option two, I really care what people think. And then people are like, is this a hidden message about Jamie Lynn Spears' book? And no, guys, it's not a hidden message when it's that overt.
It's a message.
It's just a blatant smackdown of her younger sister.
I love this new phase of Britney that we're entering. She has more control of her life. She definitely has control of her socials now. And I feel like we're just seeing that confidence. Like, she's just been so confined to being one thing. Like, now she gets to be like every other celebrity who has a presence on social media, sassy, funny, petty when they need to be. Like, she's entering that decade of 40s, which is just like, I don't give a fuck and I'm going to do what I want to do and I'm here for it. Also would argue that Things I Should Have Said is kind of also leveraging the conversation around her sister at the moment by being like, I should have spoken out for her. I should have done more. It's like, can't you just name it like, I don't know, Jamie Lynn Spears 101 or The Sweet Life of Jamie Lynn Spears. I don't know. The first one wasn't great. The second one was better. Yeah. But hook it off something like is related to her and her only. I still feel like that's a bit of a grab at Britney.
This book, it looks like, I mean, it's not out until January of next year, but from what we know of the story she's telling, it's still very much hooked on her sister's life because the little promo thing for it is like living in the shadow of being Britney Spears' little sister, which has kind of been the same story she's been peddling for the last 20 years, but I guess there's more to say. I don't know, it's all very like Ashley Simpson circa living in my sister's
up
shadow.
I just started singing that song
did
in my
you
head.
Well,
living
I said shadow
in the shadow of someone else's dreams, trying to find a head to hold. Oh my God, I fucking love that album.
Such
it's so
a good song.
It's so
oh
good.
My God, Ashley Simpson got raked across the coals for that, but that album is nothing but bangers. Also,
it
those sisters
up
seem to have like stood the test of time. I mean, they had no they evil really dad did. Trying to. I mean, their dad's evil.
They
too.
Did well, have a bit of an evil dad.
That's a story for another day. On this point, though, it's really interesting that Britney's fans cannot let this thing about the secret messages go. And I understand it because at the end of the day, they were kind of proven right. Like before all the documentaries came out and the court cases and celebrities weighing in to free Britney, you had this really intense core group of fans who for over a year were saying she's being held prisoner, she's sending secret messages, all this stuff has gone down behind the scenes, these people are evil, this is what's happening, and no one kind of believed them. Everyone just thought Britney Spears was in an incapacitated mental state and was just being cared for by her family. Obviously, now we know that's not true. So this little core group of believers have been proven right. But the thing is, now they can't let that secret, like Britney wearing a yellow top or whatever it was, they can't let that go. And so they're still combing through looking for these secret messages. And one thing that's kind of come to the surface lately is like this archive of letters and messages that were actually posted by Britney Spears in this section. Like she used to write them in her fan club section from like 2004 yes. to 2007. And like members had to pay $25 per year for access. So like obviously you could pay to get them. They weren't that secret. But people are going through them now and decoding them and finding all these like hints she was dropping about being controlled and what her family were doing and things that Jamie Lynn Spears was doing. And so that's the next thing, like apparently that's going to blow up. Although, I don't know, is that a bow too far? I don't know what to believe with Britney anymore because I've got to say I didn't completely believe all the Britney conspiracy theories a decade ago. So now I feel like I don't want to call them out again in case they might be right.
I think they are right. I think what we've learned with Britney Spears is that she had literally been living in incomprehensible like nightmare. When we hear the actual stone cold facts, like they are chilling. And so that's why I'm not surprised by anything now. And there have been so many times, like so many famous people have gone publicly on the record to say that Britney Spears has reached out to them in a letter asking for their help. I think one was Sharon Stone. I think anything that kind of comes directly from her, so these exclusive posts, like I do remember those blog posts used to come out like in the Perez Hilton at the height of his kind of career.
What were you paying the $25 a year to read Britney Spears?
I mean, Perez
journal?
Was paying and putting it on his
oh,
website.
Oh, okay.
And because I was obviously in a bad place at the time, I didn't understand celebrity culture and what I was doing and how I was playing into that economy of paparazzi. But yeah, I was like reading along with that. So these have been out there for a while. And if they're coming from a website, I don't think it's a conspiracy, but I still stand by those yellow tops. Like she was sending a message.
Well, the book's out next year. And from what we've kind of seen from this exchange of messages and what's going to be in this book by Jamie Lynn Spears, I feel like this is going to be the final nail in the coffin of the relationship between these sisters. Like I feel like once this book comes out, there's no coming back from that.
I finished my work week on my couch, ordered some food. It's time for Weekend Watch.
Our recommendations of what to watch this weekend.
All right, it is Weekend Watch time and I'm up first. My goodness, the first episode of this new series came out on Monday and I have been bursting at the seams all week to talk about it. So we know that my two favorite genres are housewives and British thrillers, and today I have a British thriller that's going to rock your socks off. It is called Angela Black, and it's a 6-part series that premiered this week on Stan. So the series centers on Angela Black. So she is played by Joanne Froggatt, who we know from Liar that we've been talking about nonstop here on The Spill, and many other things as well. She's obviously an esteemed actor. So to outsiders, Angela seems like she's happily married. She's a mum of two with a hot husband. But behind closed doors, her charming and successful husband, Olivier, who's played by Mikhail Houseman, who you might know from The Flight Attendant, is both physically violent and emotionally manipulative, leaving her trapped in a marriage that she cannot escape. So things kind of take a bit of a twisted turn when seemingly out of nowhere, she's approached by this guy called Ed, who's played by Samuel Adewunmi. He's a private investigator who was originally hired by her husband, but after he realized what her husband was doing to her, he spills Olivier's plans to divorce her, as well as his deepest, darkest secrets and dangerous plans that threaten Angela's life. So for those of you that were just left not knowing what to do after the second series of Liar ended. This will fill that hole in your heart. And, you know, on the spill that we give bonus points for series that drop weekly because we are big advocates of watching TV as an event. Every new episode drops on Mondays at 9 a.m. Australian Eastern Daylight Time. It's so good. My household is hooked. All the entertainment writers at Mamma Mia have been also backing me up that it's really good as well. So I cannot wait to hear what you spillers think. Hop in the Facebook group if you can catch the first episode. So, so good. And you don't even have to wait that long for the second episode because Monday is just around the corner, sadly.
All right, so I'm recommending I Know What You Did Last Summer, which is a new series that premiered on Amazon Prime today. So the series is, of course, based on the hit 1997 slasher film of the same name that starred Jennifer Love Hewitt, Sarah Michelle Gellar, Ryan Phillippe, and Freddie Prinze Jr. So I Know What You Did Last Summer was obviously a huge movie. It spawned like a heap of slasher sequels. It meant a lot to the genre. And I watched it so much as a teenager. And even now, as an adult woman in my 30s, I still check my closets at night just in case I still do, because from that scene where like he's hiding in her closet all night and she wakes up and her hair is cut off, and I pay a lot for my hair, I can't live like that. I also stopped hitting people with my car and dumping them in water after I saw this movie, so there's lots of cautionary
tales.
So the new series of I Know What You Did Last Summer begins with Lennon, played by Madison Isman, who returns to her Hawaii home after being away in college for her first year, so the family home she lives in with her dad. And a bloody surprise is waiting for her in her bedroom. It's a decapitated goat's head. And the words, I know what you did last summer, are scrawled across her mirror. And then it goes to the flashback scene where you see the summer before when she and her friends had graduated high school, what happened that night and the events that led to them killing someone with their car and disposing of the body in an underground cave. So that all takes place, but what's really interesting is the twist of who they kill. And I'm not going to give it away because that is like literally the point of the whole show. But up until that moment, I was thinking like, this is okay, but the characters aren't overly memorable. There's not enough teens getting bloodily murdered for my liking. Like, that's why you watch a slasher movie. So towards the end of the first episode, I was like, oh, I don't know if I'm into this. And then the twist happens of who they kill and what actually happens after the body is disposed of, because this time around, it's not a stranger at all, and it's pretty dark, I'm gonna say, and that kind of sets up the rest of the series, where obviously this person comes back and they start getting mysterious notes, and then one by one they're getting killed off in more bloody and gory ways. So it's nowhere near as good as the movie, and obviously we're kind of seeing this big resurgence of all these horror franchises come back. Like, we had the new Candyman film come out, Halloween Kills has come out, this week we talked about Scream 5 trailer. I feel like they've all kind of elevated the genre a little bit, but for this, if you just want to kind of watch a bit of a fun, dark slasher, bit gory with an interesting twist, then I Know What You Did Last Summer on Amazon Prime would be the show for you. So the first 4 episodes drop today, and then it's weekly until the finale.
Nice. I'm actually going to watch that because I think in series form, I could be fine with it.
Yeah, let me know what you think of the twist, because I don't know anyone else who's watched it, and I'd be really keen to hear what someone else thinks.
I'll be texting you this weekend. Well, thank you so much for listening to The Spill today. Remember, while you're listening, to follow us and leave us a review if you have time. And if you're looking for another podcast to keep you busy, may we suggest This Glorious Mess. It's our twice weekly podcast here at Mamma Mia that showcases parenting as it really is. The ups, the downs, and the moments we really wish never happened. Just take a little listen now.
We do a bath, we're all clean, we've done everything. We get into our pajamas, into our sleep sack, lie down in the cot. Mummy, I've done a poo. Okay. Out of the sleep sack, out of the pajamas. This poo, my God. So I'm like trying to clean it up. Then the white box was empty. So I turn around to go to the wardrobe to get the white box. And then this hysterical little giggle, I look over and there's a proper wee fountain up to the ceiling and onto the carpet. And he is giggling his head off. And I go, oh God, oh God, oh God. And I'm like trying to open the wipes, trying to clean up the flute, trying to clean up everything. Of course, the one time I haven't been with Rich for 3 months, this is all happening.
You can check it out wherever you get your podcast. A reminder that The Watch is dropping on Sunday. Mark your calendars. This episode of The Spill was produced by Laura Brodnick and Maddie Joanno, with audio production by Leah Porges. We'll see you at mamamia.com.au. Bye.
Bye.
Mamma Mia acknowledges the traditional owners of the land we have recorded this podcast on, the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation. We pay our respects to their elders, past and present, and extend that respect to all Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander cultures.